good to be with us all together to go over the word today. So we're just going to pray and we're going to get straight into it. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the ability to gather together and dig into your word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it has to teach us. And we also just pray that whatever is spoken this morning, Lord, that it will not just speak to our ears, but speak to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago I was doing some prep for youth and I came across this passage in 1 John 5, 13 to 15. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that will be asked, that we have asked of him. And because I was doing this for youth, I knew I had to prepare some answers. And that some of those questions that might come up would be something like, what is God's will? And how do we understand it? Thankfully, they didn't actually ask those questions that week, so I got off really lightly. But the questions stuck, they swirled around in my head. There's not much else going on up there, so there was a lot of room for it to swirl around. And so here we are this morning, talking about what is God's will in our life. And knowing where to start was actually quite a difficult thing for me. It's quite a big subject. So I thought I'd start off with a metaphor in that. The church is full of Kiwis in South Africa, and so I thought I'd start off with a rugby one. And often when you're watching a game and a team is losing, you'll hear the same phrase from commentators, coaches, and players. We didn't get our basics right. Or, reverse, when they're actually winning, you'll hear them, we got the basics right tonight and we were able to build off that for the win. And the basics in sport is the key to why you succeed or fail, and it's no different in our Christian life as well. We need to have our basics right so that we can play a good game, or as Paul wrote it, run a good race. Yeah. Right. But what does that mean? Get back to basics when you're talking about God's will. And I found these two passages and I thought they were really good for this. It's John 20, verse 30 to 31. It's right at the end of the book of John. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. And 1 Thessalonians, didn't write down the list. And we also thank God continually for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you have heard from us, you accept it not as word of men, but for what it is, the word of God, which is at work in you as believers. And that's what it is, the basics. To know God is to know his will. And we have a word for that. It's a word that often scares people. It's a word that people often shy away from. We call that theology. And the basis for that is just the study of who God is. And a lot of people don't like that word. A lot of people think it's unnecessary or out of date, stuffy. But if you don't know who God is, how do you know what he wants from your life? If you don't know who God is, how do you know what you'll need to do in church? And church is the very foundation created to serve that being. So if you don't know who he is, how do you know what your role is in that? So some of you are probably thinking, because you're not a young whippersnapper in the youth, that this might not apply to you, that you know God, you read your Bible every day, and I say that's awesome, fantastic. But I'm going to reply to you with this. Did you ever hear of a show called Are You Smarter Than a 10-Year-Old? I used to watch the show, and in the show, it would get a bunch of really smart adults. I think even one person was a member of Mensa, which if you don't know what that is, you need to have an IQ of 160 to be involved in that. And they would be pitted against 10-Year-Olds, and they would be asked questions at that level of schooling. And they would go through a competition, and whoever won would get some money. And what most people expected to see was a bunch of adults just stomping on kids because they're heaps smarter than them. But the reality was, what we saw was a bunch of kids stomping on adults. Not because they weren't smarter than these kids, but because these adults had forgotten their fundamental basics. They had forgotten how to do the basic things because they were so busy focusing on the complicated things at the top. And we mustn't make this mistake when it comes to our Christian lives. We must always go back to the Gospels and the teachings of the Apostles, and we must continue to read about Jesus and his time on earth and what he did for us and who he was as a person, so that we can know who he is, know what his will was, and so that we can, when the time comes to it, answer the questions that need to be answered, do the things that need to be done. And something that has been really quite a blessing for me when it comes to teaching the youth is that I'm constantly reminded of these basic building blocks of our faith. I can't go into youth with a topic and just talk like I would a normal adult conversation. I have to go to the root of every subject and build up from the base. And it's been a massive blessing to not only them but to myself, just to remind myself of who God is and what he actually does, and then I can see it in their lives. So if knowing God is the foundation of his will, then we need to be a people who don't just know what it is, but are transformed by it. We read this in Romans 12, 1-2. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, truly and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewal of your mind, by the testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Some of you may not know, but I work in a manufacturing company. And part of the interview process for some jobs is an aptitude test. These are often jobs that require problem solving. And the aptitude test is nice and basic and simple. All you have to do is take the knowledge that's floating around in your noggin and show us that you can apply it to situations, or that you have the ability, if you have the information, to apply it into a situation correctly. And often people who can do this will go further in life than someone who can just build knowledge but not know how to use it. And that's what this Romans passage is telling us. We can't just be people who build knowledge. We need to let that knowledge transform our lives. We need to let that constant renewal of our mind transforms us as believers. And you see this in James, he puts it this way. But be doers of the word, and not only hearers, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But if one who looks at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perceives being not a hearer for, and preserves being not a hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And I look at New Zealand and I look at everything that's going around in the world as well, but just everybody who is blaming each other, yelling at each other, saying how do we solve the XYZ problem? And the solution is actually a lot more simpler than what it is to these people just shouting at one another, and that is the church being transformed by the word of God and being doers of his will. So much of the world's problems would be solved by a strong network of believers who were transformed by the word of God. And I really, really enjoyed this week, and it was a great example of us being doers of the word with this kids camp. Not only were we able to get the gospel message out to 70 plus families, I think there were 70 plus families involved, we were able to minister to kids, but we were also able to provide a service for people when times are tough, money is tight, and we were able to bless a lot of families with an after school program so that they could still work and not have to worry about it. So there's a really, really awesome example of two churches in Carterton linking up with a church in Hamilton, providing a service through the will of God to benefit the community. And I think the more that we do of this, the better it is. That's us letting the word transform us into action.
Yeah.
Not just sit there going, oh, we know the community needs help. We went out and we did it. So you guys should all be really proud of yourselves. That was amazing. And knowing that, let's take a step into the practical here with Joshua 1 verse 8 and 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. It says, this book is the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it daily and day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way purpose, and that you shall have good success. So all scripture is breathed out by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So if to know God is to know His Word, and to know His will is to know who God is. The more you read His Word, and the more you let that Word renew your mind and transform you, the more you'll be able to receive your daily, ideally, teaching and your reproof and correction and your training in righteousness from these pages. These result in someone who has not only let their knowledge of God transform their lives, but they have gained the teachings of the law, and they have accepted the reproof and the correction of their beliefs and their behaviors, and that they now live a life that is trained and ready to go in the righteous ways of the Lord. And the more you do this, the more you change, the more you want more. That's really how it works. And when I look back at my life and times when I've been going full on for the Lord, I can see that it has been good for me. That even when things were not great in my life personally, because I was so close to the Lord, my path was clearer. My ability to see what was happening was clearer. My solutions were clearer. Everything was clearer. But then when I look back at times when I know I've definitely not been in full swing and not going hard for the Lord, I can see that I've let the world really get me down. I've really let life just kick me in the teeth. And even though I know He was right next to me, it's felt like God was far away. And that's what life can really be like. You know, we all have stresses that come from work, that come from life, stresses that come from raising our little monsters, you know, I mean our kids. stresses that come from just your marriage or your relationship with friends. There's always something that's going to, life is always going to throw at you, that's going to bring you down. But the Lord is there for us, and the more that you are transformed by the Word, the clearer it is for you that you'll be able to get through these times, and that you'll be able to let that transformed Word, that knowledge that you have of God, get you through those hard times. And I like to read Psalm 23 from time to time, verse 1 to 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And I think that's the really important part, is that when life is kicking you in the teeth, that you just take a step back and you get into your Word. If you're stressed from work, that you're, and you need some quiet time, you need some alone time, let that alone time be with God as well. Let that restore your soul and not just your reset your battery from work or whatever's stressing you. Let the Word soak into you. And so I have a daily, well, as ideally as I can, a daily ritual where I have a journal. And in this journal, I have parts where I write down not only what I've read for the day, but I write down what stuck out for me, what particular verses stuck out for me. If anything that really stuck out for me is worth digging into. Recently, I read Acts, and I came across the baptism of the Spirit, and I was like, you know what, I haven't looked into that for a long time, but that'd be a really awesome thing to talk to about the youth. So I wrote that down, and I think that's something that we need to do, is to be really purposeful about how we go through reading this book. We need to make sure that we make it a priority. I'm not saying don't rest, don't go to a sports game, don't watch TV. I'm saying make sure that the priority in your life is still the Lord. The priority in your life is the Bible. The priority in your life is His Word. So that you can be transformed by it and not let the world get you down. So that when the time comes, you can act on it. And so this simple setup, this simple journal, I have it bookmarked in my computer. And because I use my PC every single day for work, I can't escape it. I also have an app on my phone, that's a Bible app, that sends me a reminder after the kids go to bed, preferably. And it always says, it's time for you to dig into your Bible. And I think that's one of the things we must really be conscious of, is to be purposeful about this. Don't let the world drag you down. And if you walk away today with anything from this message, I'd like you to walk away with this, that we must know who God is. We must let His Word transform our lives, and we must accept His teachings and training so that we can, when the time comes, enact His will. If we do not have that, we cannot be a worker for Christ. So if you're a believer who reads a passage a day from your Bible, that's awesome. I really like to challenge you to take it to a chapter a day. If you're a believer who does a chapter a day, why not three? And if you're already at three, why not get to the point where you start writing down what you're reading? Writing down what you've read in it and seeing what comes out there deeper, so that when you get to this point, you start hungering for those answers. Not just, oh, I've read my Bible, I feel good. What are the answers to these questions I'm coming up? So, today I want us to leave as believers who know that they have been transformed by the Word, ready to enact His will, but also that we're believers who so know our God, who so know His will, that when we hear words, we know how to discern whether or not it's a word from God, or whether or not it's a word from the world getting down to us and that's how we feel. We need to be believers so connected to God that we can do His will and transform not just our lives, but the lives around us. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to get into a bit of worship. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for your words. We thank you for what you have for us in our lives, Lord. And we just pray today that we'll go out and that we'll be transformed by your word, Lord. That we will be believers who can enact your will and that can put and make a massive impact on the people around us in our lives, Lord. Amen.